From Deep Inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
I'm Andrew Richards.
And I'm Vance Morrison.
And welcome to Defrag Tools. So we've got a guest here, Vance Morrison.
Hello.
Going to talk to us about a cool perf tool, right?
That's right. It's called PerfView.
PerfView.
So before that, what do you do at Microsoft?
Yeah, I am the .NET performance architect. So my job is to make .NET programs fast.
Nice.
So it turns out you can do that two ways. I can either fix the runtime. So I spend a bunch of time talking to devs on the runtime, trying to get the code to go faster. But frankly, nowadays, it's more about making sure that the people who are building things on top of .NET are doing a good job, that they realize that where their performance problems are. And that's what PerfView helps you with.
Is it more of a client focus, server focus, or that's kind of both?
So PerfView is this wonderful tool that works pretty much anywhere. So I shouldn't say everywhere. It doesn't work on the phone, but that's only because they lock down the phone and won't let anything run that's not, signed and so forth.
Yeah, right.
But it will run client, it will run server, it'll run on your laptop at home, it'll run lots of places.
Great. Cool. And this is a public tool anyone can go download?
It is. In fact, if you want, I can show you how to do that right now.
So
for example, here I am in IE, and I'm just going to go, and I'm going to type PerfView.
It's always great when you're the number one hit.
It is nice, isn't it? And here, it looks like we're number... Actually, I Vance Morrison blog is number one. The download is number two. So you can click on the download button. If you went to the first one, it would lead you to the second. And you click the download. Did it click? And you say open.
Nice.
And away you go.
And what you'll see... Let me get rid of IE. We're done with it. What you'll see here is one executable inside the zip file. Oops. So we're just going to drag it to my desktop and say OK. And poof, I have installed PerfView on my machine.
Nice and easy. That's how it ought to be.
So there it is. And then I can launch it. I could have actually just double-clicked on it from within the zip file, but
That's a little...
So here it is. I'm running my tool.
So what OS is it good for?
It works on... Okay, so it is a .NET 4.0 app, which means that it needs .NET 4.0, which the operating system, it can go all the way back to XP, actually, if you cared. But it only collects data well on things in Windows Vista and above, Windows 2008 and above for the server. If you have issues way back in old operating systems, you should talk to me. There are other tools that we can do to sort of like tide you over, but generally speaking, 2008 and Vista Win 7 is sufficient.
So the support OS is
the
right
supporter,
now.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is PerfView, and you can see actually just by when it starts up, it actually gives you all this verbiage. Now it turns out that this was intended to sort of help you get going. What I found is no one reads it. So there are just too many words. So for people who don't like words, you can click on this little button up here and it will take you to videos.
Nice.
So we're going to show you some videos here, but if you miss these or they're not covering the thing that you want, there are maybe 12 videos all segregated by the kind of investigation you're interested in. And each one of them is only like 10 minutes or so, so you can do them in bite-sized chunks.
Are they the same videos that are in the PerfView series?
They are, in fact, Channel 9. Yes, they're the... Yep.
The series you wrote. It was a while ago now, right?
It is a while ago, but they're still useful. They're still accurate.
Yep. We'll add a link to that in the show notes so you know where they are.
Yep. So I can show you sort of how it works if you like.
Go for it.
All right. So here it is. I'm going to do what the verbiage here is telling you to do, which is to walk through the tutorial. I do recommend that anyone who's using PerfView for the first time either watch the videos or walk through the tutorial, because unfortunately, programs are complicated. Mm-hmm. And performance data is aggregating that over time, which makes it even more complicated. And so it's very easy for you to get confused by the data. And the number one thing that you should know about this user interface is you'll see there's all sorts of blue hyperlinks here. And these are useful things. They really do bring up useful things. I spent a good amount of time writing the documentation, and it's not just sort of this menu entry does this, and you could have guessed that by the name of the menu entry. It's about how do you do performance investigation? You know, how many samples do you need? How should you collect your data and so forth? So it's important things that you, the practitioner, need to know. So, but anyway, and the very first thing it will tell you is to run through the tutorial. So we're going to collect some information, some ETW information real quick. And so the way you do that is you just say, in this case, you can either say collect or run. Collect means collect on the machine. I don't care, it could be running already. I don't care, it's just going to monitor the machine. Run says I want to run a particular command and I want to look at what that command is doing. For the tutorial, we'll do run, but it turns out that in practice, most people do collect. There really isn't much difference. It has to collect data machine-wide, so it has to be admin. So here it is, it's elevating for us. And so now it's asking me for a command. And I'm going to do what the tutorial would tell you to do, which is type tutorial.exe. So we're going to run an exe called tutorial, and you say, well, where did that come from? Well, it was installed along with Perfview. You say, wait, how did I install Perfview? I just copied over the exe. Right. Magic. If you want, I can tell you how that happened. But basically, the first time I launched it, it unpacked a bunch of stuff. It unpacked this as well. So I can just say run. And so now, believe it or not, it's running. You can see down here, it's sort of collecting data, and it's thinking. It turns out this particular app runs for about 5 seconds, and now it's sort of showing you what it's doing, and poof, the end result is this file right here called perfewdata.etl.zip.
And this includes the trace that you just collected then?
It is the trace collected.
Okay,
so this is, for anyone who's familiar with XPerf or WPR, WPA, they use the same technology, which is event tracing for Windows, ETW,
mm-hmm. Right.
And they interop with each other. So you could collect data with Perfview and look at it with WPA, mm-hmm. or you could collect data with WPR and look at it with Perfview. Either one will work. Mm-hmm. And that's quite valuable, in fact. One of the things I'm going to show you is Perfview deploy. Well, you just saw Perfview deploys very easily. You can mm-hmm. copy an exe or a zip file. You can download it from the web. Today you can't do that with WPR. It's a little bit more complicated mm-hmm. to install it. So if you yeah. just want to get some data really quick, Perfew's handy. Perfview has some nice defaults. As you just saw, I should say Perfview collect and it collected. And you yeah. say, well, I didn't sort of specify 15 different things. And the answer is no, I picked some defaults for you.
Nice.
And they're good defaults. So
so the tracing that's running, is it looking at every CLR app or is it just looking at one particular
It is looking machine-wide. This is ETW and ETW collects machine-wide. So it's collected everything on the machine for the duration that it was running. So in this case, that command.
And there's no flag that's you have great. To set on an app to get additional information.
That's right.
It's ETW magic because it's always been emitted, so it's always going to be collected.
It's monitoring the whole machine for the duration that it monitored it, and whatever's happening on that machine, you will see.
I really like how easy it is to just hit that and go. And because every other tool, I mean, back in the day, it started out, you had to use the XPerf command line, and mm-hmm. the command line options were just unbearably complicated.
Purely for the NT kernel providers, unbearable. Add the per GUID.
God forbid you actually need a GUID.
They tried to make it easier, and every time I had to collect a trace, it was like a nightmare. I would do everything in my power to figure out some other way to avoid troubleshoot than having to use that. And it's better now with WPR. Yeah. There's a GUI some checkboxes, but it's still, you kind of get people there like, I don't know what to check, what are all these things?
The other one that's kind of slightly better is the event tracing for Windows one under user-defined traces. But even that, still, like, you still have to know what you're talking about.
And
the flags right.
My take on it was always like, 90% of the time, it's going to be the same thing. Like, why can't I just hit one button?
Indeed.
Right?
So
here we go.
If you can launch it like I did, you say, launch and then say collect. And if you said collect, it would start collecting.
Mm-hmm.
And you're collecting now. You, like, run your scenario or whatever. So it's two clicks, But at the command line, you can also run this from the command line, and from there, it's literally Perfview collect, and it will do the same thing that it is. So It's designed so that in the common cases, it's super, super easy. Because the scenario usually is that you're some, you're actually often not the person who's collecting the data. Usually it's some other, you have your software, yeah. and something went wrong on some user's machine, and you're actually asking that user to collect software or its data for you.
Yeah.
And so this makes it super, super easy. So yeah. Once you have one of these things, you have this etl.zip file. And as its name suggests, it's an ETL file, which is the standard format for a ETW trace. It's the same thing that WPR would create. But then I zip it, because usually you want to transfer these things to another machine, and it's just smaller, and it zips quite well.
Yeah, I think ETL in general just is a very good zip format, good compression ratio.
It gets like eight.
Yeah.
So you want to zip it if you're transferring across the network. Yeah. Okay, so once you have one of these things, now what do you do with it?
How big is it? I mean, how verbose?
Actually, this little icon down here will tell you. So. This view here that I just clicked on actually tells you all the events that it collected. So you can see that we collect, and actually I'll do one more thing, is that this little icon up here, if I click on it, it will show me sort of overall statistics on the thing. So in particular, it told me that it took 8 seconds, like it was on for 8 seconds. And here's the file size. It's 2.1 megabytes, which isn't very big.
That's tiny.
More typical, so the size of the file depends upon how much is going on in the system. If you have lots of content and what events you collected. Mm-hmm. And so they can get very big. I tell people the raw ETL file is usually between 100 and 500 megabytes. When it compresses, it usually compresses down to something like 20 to 50 megabytes. So that's the file you're going to be transferring across the network.
Definitely an amount that's not onerous on a system.
And you can make that a lot smaller if you know what you're looking for. What we did was we picked some defaults, mm-hmm. and we went high, right? Because it's harder. You don't want to have to ask people to recollect.
Right.
Okay, so let me, before I actually talk about, I want to concentrate on data collection for this first part.
Yeah.
While we're going to get to, what all these like icons mean and so forth, but that's a show in itself. So I want to save that. But what I do want to do is I want to tell you some of the useful things that you can do for collection. So we saw one, which is that it was super easy to just collect the defaults. There's one other default that people should care about, and it's this one right here, this thread time default. And if you were on the command line, you would have said perfview / thread time. Who would have thought? Collect. That's the only difference. So there's basically, and you can think of it as a two setting volume control. Mm. There's the default volume control, and there's verbose. Mm-hmm. And pretty much thread time means verbose. And the difference is that if you just care about CPU time, if you just and if you don't know, and you don't mind recollecting, just use the defaults. But it turns out that if you care about wall clock time, so that tells you what the CPU is doing. But it doesn't tell you when the CPU isn't running. Mm. And so if you care about wall clock time, if you care about the time it took from the time a request started to the time it finished, and it might not be CPU, it might be blocked, it might be waiting on a database, might be doing other things, then you actually care about these other information, and we have to collect a bunch more information in that case, and that's what thread time is about.
So without it, it's more like CPU spinning, high saturation, and with it, it's more about weight analysis.
The first one is about like CPU and general purpose, but low cost. So when you're running in the default mode, it won't slow your app down by more than about 3%. If you turn up the volume, and the files are smaller, they're one-third the size of a high-volume trace. If you turn up thread time, then it goes up, the overhead probably goes up to 10, maybe even 15%, depending on your scenario. And the size of the file is three times or maybe four times bigger.
So with the thread time on, is that something that you still would be comfortable putting on a server farm that's busy?
We do it all the time.
It's so, like Exchange and SharePoint.
So 10%. You're going to slow the things down 10%. And keep in mind, you're only slowing it down while you're collecting the data.
Yeah.
The other thing that I didn't mention during collection is that when you do a run, it will collect as long as that program is running. Mm. But when you say just collect, it will just start collecting until you tell it to stop. Mm-hmm. But you could imagine the file could grow enormous. Let's imagine you left it on.
Yeah.
You know, it could grow to gigabytes. It could run out of your hard drive and so forth. And frankly, file sizes over about 2 gigabytes are just unwieldy. Like, yeah, they're hard to use every step of the way.
Because all your analysis tools are roughly 2 or 3 to 1 from file size to RAM you need to crunch it. So,
yeah. Yeah, so you don't want... So the answer is that I tell people is that... if you have 30 seconds of trace, the right trace of the event that you care about, that's enough. Mm-hmm. 30 seconds of trace is actually under 100 megabytes, mm-hmm, even with the high volume and so forth. But Perfview, by default, you'll see this little thing here. It says circular megabytes, and it's set to 500, which means that by default, after it collects 500 megabytes, it starts rewriting over what it started. So it will do the circular byte. So you can leave it on forever. Mm-hmm. And you'll get the last. I tell people it's usually about 2 to 3 minutes of trace.
That's plenty.
So you'll get exactly. And I told you only needed 30 seconds, so that should be more than fine. Yeah. So that's one thing about collection there.
I think when we did the HW WPR episodes, I think we were only using a default of 100 megabytes. I think, and
yeah, that's and even more. That's yeah, enough. And so you can set it. I set it to 500 megabytes.
Yeah.
The other thing that's real, okay, so the first thing that's valuable about Perfview, even if you had WPR, was that you could give it to a customer or you could just point them at the website and tell them to, you know, follow these instructions, which are very simple instructions, Perfview, collect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even if you want wacky things, what you do is you figure out the right command line for it and you say, type this command line.
Right.
And it's not a complicated command line. And so again, you can get all the all the details, and they don't have to understand any of it. That's the first valuable thing. The second valuable thing is that I mentioned that 30 seconds is good if you have the right 30 seconds. So if you have a problem that's occurring all the time, you just turn it on for 30 seconds, turn it off, and you're done. But if you have an intermittent problem, and it's fairly common to have intermittent problems where the GC goes out of control, or the CPU goes out of control, or something goes out of control, and it happens once a day, or once every week, or something like that. And the question is, I need to see it when that happens. That's the interesting part. Mm-hmm. And so what you can do is you can tell Perfview to stop on various things. So it could be sitting there running in flight recorder mode. It's sort of doing its circular buffer, using its 3 or 10% overhead, leave it on forever, and then you can tell Perfview to stop when certain things happen. And then it will stop. And I'll show you that right now, in fact. So for example, in fact, we'll demo it here. So here is a Perfview command right here. Perfview collect is the normal command. But now I added this extra line here, and it says, stop on perf counter, processor percent processor time, colon, total greater than 25. Oh my God. So there's documentation, if you care. But that basically is saying, look at the performance counter, and that's the name of the performance counter, processor percent CPU time, and look at the instance called total, which is for the whole machine. And basically it's saying when the CPU goes over 25% total CPU, that's a trigger. Please stop. Mm-hmm. So keep in mind, it was doing a circular buffer. So it has the last 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. It triggers at that point. It actually happens to go another 10 seconds, just so that you get the thing afterwards. And then it stops. Mm-hmm. And so now you have exactly the time when this happened, when the CPU went wild. And there's a whole bunch of these what I'll call triggers. You can stop on event counters. You can stop on, performance counters. You can stop on ETW events. You can stop on messages to the event log. So if something goes wacky and logs something to the event log, you can capture that. There's a bunch of them. So here we're going to do one, literally, if I have time.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to run this one, which basically says I am looking for when the CPU spikes. And for this, I'm only making it spike above 25% because this is a four-way proc and I have a hard time saturating it otherwise. So I'm going to start that. Because I said no GUI, it's not going to bring up the GUI. It's just going to bring up this. And if you can see it, what it's actually saying, oh, you know, I'm started collection and I'm waiting for a trigger of 25%, and currently my CPU time is 1.5%. So it's not triggering. And it will do this forever. And it will only collect that 500 megabytes of data, and it'll just keep monitoring until something happens. And so I'll make something happen over here.
I was going to joke about Outlook then about.
Yeah, actually, this is you know, a tool like Perfview is really addictive, because whenever you have something go wrong on your own machine, damn it, why did I do that?
Yeah.
And you can answer that question now. Like, you can have it running, and like, you can find out what it was doing when it did that.
I know myself with Procter, because I have it as the just-in-time debugger. It pops in, makes a dump file. It's like, why did you crash?
Exactly.
And it's the same thing. Why did you hang?
It is very enabling. It is like you sit. I think that's the one of the big takeaways for ETW, is that there's very little that you can't know.
Yeah.
Like, and so if you really want to know something about the system, there's a pretty good chance there's some data out there. And Perfview and or WPA, WPR are a great way to sort of like discover that and then learn how to like, you know, dig in.
Yeah.
So this thing is now done. You can see that it was monitoring, and then it said, oh, look, the processor got to 29.7%, and so the trigger fired, and so now it's doing all this stuff, and it basically made that zip file, and now it's saying you're done, and so I'm done.
I noticed it said writing 5 PDB, so it has all the PDB generation code in it as well?
So one of the things about, you know, we're getting into ugly details about the runtime, but the way this works is that engine images, so we have something called engine, or native compilation for .NET code. And the trick is that every machine's engine images are could be different. Mm. And because of that, the PDBs associated with those engine images are different. Mm-hmm. And so you actually need the PDBs for those engine images as part of the trace.
From the client.
If you don't have those, you'll get the data and you might not be able to get the symbolic information that you need. And so Perfview handles that problem for you. It goes, it looks to see what PDBs were actually, I'm sorry, what engine images were actually used in the trace. It generates the PDBs for those, puts them into the zip file, and the whole thing is all set up and
nice.
Perfect.
Awesome.
So, you don't have to worry about
you
it.
Could exactly. Doing that from XPerf is just...
Well, they have something. So WPR has a similar thing, which is it you'll see that it makes this engine PDBs file. The only thing that Perfview does that's a little bit better is it zips them. And in fact, I've asked the WPR guys to do that.
I'm saying, but the XPerf command line can't.
Oh, no, yeah.
There is a way of doing it, but it's so hard.
Generally speaking, even the XPerf team will tell you that, you know, you should be using WPR. That is their tool that they're investing in.
Yeah.
And so they should be using that. Unfortunately, WPR, in order to use, if you need to like turn on things that aren't in the GUI, you know, they have a set of them that are easy to turn on. If they're not that, you have to author this XML file. Mm. You can't do like what you can do in XPerf and just sort of add one more like term to your command line and it will do it for you. You actually have to author this file.
It's balanced.
They'll fix that. You know, that's a burp. They'll figure that out and make it work. So
cool. So we have file collected.
Yep. Exactly.
Is that anything more to do with it?
A good place to stop for this session. But after this, at this point, you can copy it up to another machine. Obviously, we don't need to do that here. But if it were on somebody's machine that's not yours, you probably want to analyze it on your own machine.
Mm-hmm.
And so you copy. But otherwise, you're done.
You're good to go.
So
awesome.
Well, so, next week.
Yeah, we'll come back next week and talk about looking at the trace then.
Exactly.
Yeah,
definitely.
Great. All right. Well, thanks for watching. As always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.